Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Ken Timmerman, who is in southern France, takes a look at a potpourri of geopolitical events happening in our world today. Many of his reports will be centered around the coronavirus pandemic. For example, Muslims saying that Allah, the Islamic God, Allah is using the coronavirus as a weapon against non-Muslims. He will also bring to our attention Islamic State's statement on the coronavirus, Islamic leaders in Turkey saying that the coronavirus is a Jewish plot, and how the coronavirus pandemic seems to be slowing down global conflict. Ken comes to the broadcast table in a moment, right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Want to continue to remind you that my website, prophecytoday.com, would be a good stop for you to take as you go onto the internet to look and see what's going on in our world and understand better how it's all happening, because we look at all of these current events in light of biblical prophecy. Go to my homepage, prophecytoday.com. We list the 10 leading news stories. You can go to the stories and then come back. We will give you a prophetic perspective on all of these current events unfolding, seemingly setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. My website will also be a place where you can learn. We have a prophecy Q&A section. On the left-hand column, if you'll scroll down, you'll see prophecy Q&A. Go there, and your prophecy question probably will be answered. If not, you can send me an email, jimmy@prophecytoday.com. Send your question. We'll get an answer back to you. That website again, and I would suggest you bookmark it. It's prophecytoday.com. I'm putting up a little 5 to 10 minute report every single day on what we refer to as a prophecy moment, taking a short passage of Scripture, giving you insight simply to encourage you with the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ in the time of the rapture of the church. Those will be available at our website for more information, prophecytoday.com. Well, let's go to now southern France. We know that Ken was traveling in Europe and ended up back at southern France location, where he has a place there for he and his family to get some rest and recreation. Everybody okay at your place, Ken?
Well, everybody's fine, Jimmy. We have no problem, but I feel sorry for the people who are cooped up in apartments in inner cities, and they're not allowed to go out, and the French have become quite draconian with enforcing this voluntary confinement. There's nothing voluntary about it. They're giving out fines in thousands of dollars for people who go out multiple times without these passes or without good reason. So they're cracking down quite severely, and there's no evidence at all, as we speak today, that it's having any impact on the spread of the disease. The French are now saying that America is the epicenter of the pandemic. And in fact, the United States, as we speak today, has 1,300 deaths, over 85,000 cases, but that's a mortality rate of 1.5%. The French have a mortality rate of over 5%, and they have been under quarantine for 2 weeks. So the quarantine is not working, and it's not because they're not respecting it, it's just not effective. The Swedes are sending kids to school, they're allowing people to go to restaurants, and they have, I think, 70 deaths so far and 2,000 cases. I mean, it's ridiculous to see the way the big state parties want to expand control of the government over the people. And I'm quite astonished, having been in France for the past 35 years off and on, we lived here for 18 years in the 80s and the 90s, I'm quite astonished to see how passive the French have been in accepting all this. Fear is a tremendous weapon to steer the people.
Well, it's a very interesting times in which we are living. Judy and I are quarantined here at Broadcast Central, so that we can continue to use the radio to communicate to our friends across the United States and around the world, and be able to have a conversation with you, Ken. It's so key. Talk to me about the Muslim extremists that are using this coronavirus to promote terror and hate across the country. This seems to be expanding, does it not?
Well, that's what they are doing ideologically, if you wish. You have radical clerics, you have the Muslim Brotherhood and ISIS issuing fatwas, calling on Muslims to produce human biological weapons, in other words, to infect themselves with a virus and go to non-Muslim countries to infect people. But it's not clear at all that this is what's happening. First of all, there's no travel at all between Muslim countries or even Europe and the United States. The air travel has been cut back to roughly 10% at most of what it was before the virus hit, before the pandemic hit. So I think these are idle words. This is a wish list on the part of radical clerics. They would love to infect the West and to spread death and destruction to us any way they possibly could. I just don't think they're going to be very effective at doing it.
Ken, from your vantage point there in southern France, talk to me about the fact, is this coronavirus slowing the world's conflicts or seemingly intensifying them?
Well, I think for the time being, it's slowing things down because, you know, NATO and the United States and our allies in NATO are forced to reduce our military operations. We've done that in Iraq. You hear very little about Western military operations in Syria. The truce that the Russians negotiated with Turkey in northern Syria that went into effect on March 6th still seems to be holding more or less. There have not been mass violations of the truce. While that is going on, of course, you have Iranian-backed militias in Syria, surely with a wink and a nod from the Syrian government and probably from the Russians themselves. They've been moving up weapons and material and men closer to Idlib in the northwest of the country in preparation for a future battle. That battle has not happened yet. The other thing that's very odd, Jimmy, is that we just have not heard of mass outbreaks in refugee camps in Turkey or in Syria. And you would think that would be the first place that a pandemic like this would hit. And yet there hasn't been a huge outbreak. Perhaps it's because there's simply no travel between those refugee camps and infected areas. One has to wonder how this Chinese virus came about, how it left China, infected Europe, infected the United States, infected Iran as well, but essentially left almost all of the Middle East and Africa and Russia unaffected. Even Beijing was not hit with a virus. They closed down Hubei province, where Wuhan is, but Beijing was not particularly affected. They had some cases, but they were pretty much shut down. So it seems to be a virus that has very specific targets. Now, I don't mean to say it was designed that way. I'm just saying in the way that it's actually turned out to be operationally. They also say, we're told that the virus dies out in hot, humid climates. So that also could be a factor in places like, you know, the Persian Gulf and Saudi Arabia and Africa and Florida, which does not have very many cases either.
Very interesting the way this thing is following across the world and unfolding in different locations, as you just mentioned, both geographically and with the intensity of population as well. You mentioned Turkey. Talk to me about that. I understand there's some devout Muslim leaders there in Turkey who say they will defeat the Jewish plot. Is Turkey really standing up now to say all of this is because of the Jewish people?
Of course, Jimmy. There are always going to be Muslim clerics in Turkey in particular, but in Iran as well, who will say that any calamity that befalls the world is a Jewish plot or an American plot. Again, I just don't think they're getting a great deal of traction with this kind of conspiracy theory at this point. People are more eager, with the help of Chinese government propaganda, to point the finger at America. The Chinese have been claiming it's an American virus. Now, our State Department has pushed back against that pretty intensely, but it's extraordinary to see Chinese government newspapers, propaganda outlets pushing this kind of lie. They've had their correspondents in the United States, by the way, thrown out because of it.
I saw a very interesting headline, as I am a news junkie and look at all the news I can get a hold of, especially at this time we're not able to be as active as we'd like to be. But the headline said, friend or foe, and it was referring to Russia and Turkey as they are seemingly butting heads over there in Syria. What do we know about that?
Well, it's interesting to see what's going on between the two of them. And again, you know, as I mentioned, they did sign the ceasefire on March the 6th. That ceasefire has been holding. You know, they signed that agreement between two foes on the ground. They didn't do it between two friends. They did it clearly because their forces were facing off against each other in northwestern Syria. And I think both Erdogan and Putin wanted to avoid direct military clashes between their two countries. They also wanted to facilitate the defense relationship between the two countries. Erdogan wants to accelerate purchases of Russian-made S-400 air defense missiles, possibly buy the follow-on, the S-500, even more sophisticated. They're talking about buying Russian Sukhoi 57, I believe, aircraft, the fifth-generation stealth fighters. So they want to keep alive that relationship, but they have this conflict of interest in northwestern Syria, and that has brought them into the ceasefire, and they're hoping, again, to prevent a military conflict to keep alive this other relationship, which is economic and defense-oriented.
Before we leave our focus there on Syria, talk to me about Iranian-backed militias there in Syria beefing up their reserves in order to be able to assist the Syrians in standing up against all the enemies of Bashar Assad.
Well, that's right. As I mentioned earlier, they're taking advantage of this ceasefire that went into effect on the 6th of March, where the two major parties there in the north, the Turks and their Islamic militias, which include groups that were allied to ISIS, they are standing down temporarily, at least keeping their distance from Syrian government forces. So in this environment where active fighting has calm down for the time being, the Iranians are taking advantage of that and bringing up men, materiel, reinforcements up into that area so they could eventually attack those Turkish-backed militias in the northwest once the ceasefire falls through. And eventually it will fall through.
That's the voice of Ken Timmerman. He's reporting from southern France for us here on Prophecy Today. And Ken, thank you so very much for giving us your great insight. You've traveled the world. You know what's going on. You know many of the leaders that we refer to in this report. So we do need you on a weekly basis to give us your updates. Appreciate it. Hey, buddy, you and your family stay well there in southern France. We'll be able to talk, I hope, again next week.
You too, Jimmy. Be safe and be healthy. God bless.
Very interesting report as Ken Timmerman gives us a potpourri of geopolitical activities happening around the world that seemingly are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. You know, Ken's report on the conflicts in this world today seemingly slowing down is very interesting in light of the prophetic scenario that is found in the pages of Bible prophecy. For example, Matthew chapter 24, which you remember is the Olivet Discourse, Jesus there spoke of events that will happen during the tribulation period. That's that 7 years of judgment between the rapture and the second coming. Jesus mentions deception there in Matthew 24, verses 4, 5, 11, and 24. Then he speaks of wars and rumors of wars. In verse 7, he mentions pestilence, which is pandemic disease. As you and I watch all of these things happening, we must remember they happen in the tribulation period after the rapture. Today's events are only a precursor to the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. That website again, and I would suggest you bookmark it, it's prophecytoday.com. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.